Good morning. Glad you guys are here. Thank you for joining us this morning. Oh my gosh, it's so pretty out. It's so nice out, isn't it? I love seeing the sun after I feel like it's been weeks and weeks and weeks of dreary weather and rain. We get a nice sunny weekend. I know Jillian's looking at me like it's not true. We've had some sun, but no. I told her I feel like we are from Alaska, where they have the 60 days of no sun. That's what I felt like. I'm thankful for the sun shining this morning and for all of you being here. We have some announcements this morning. Pastor Jeff's mom passed away on Friday, if you haven't heard that announcement. Her services will be on Wednesday at the viewing from 9 to 11:30, and then the memorial service will start at 11:30, and it's at Pfeiffer's, P-F-E-I-F-E-R-S. It's in Pataskala, for those of you that would want to go and pay your respects. So Wednesday, the viewing's from 9 to 11:30, and then the memorial service will start at 11:30. But we will be having a really quick ad council meeting after the service today to go over some things. Those that are wanting to come and join us, you can. Turning Point, their evening worship service is going to be tonight at 6. And next Sunday, we will observe Ash Wednesday together. It's difficult for us to get together during the week, especially when it gets dark out as soon as it does for those that have a hard time in the evening driving. So we're just going to join together for Ash Wednesday and observe that next Sunday. You don't need to do anything different. Those that this might be your first Ash Wednesday experience with us, just come. And we'll celebrate that and observe that together next Sunday. And what does Ash Wednesday start? Lent! Lent, our Lent journey, as we reflect those 40 days leading us to Easter. And what was that? Leading us to Easter. And what do we have before Easter? Easter egg hunt! Yes! I love it. Your enthusiasm, it's going to have to grow as we get there. I know it's really early and it feels like, oh my gosh, we just got done. But Easter is coming. Thank God Easter's coming, right? So our Easter egg hunt is going to be the Saturday before Easter. Saturday, March 30th. But we'll need volunteers at 10 a.m. on that Saturday, March 30th, to help us hide the eggs and help us get everything ready. We've already started getting our eggs out, so those are going to be ready for you guys to take your little goodie bags of eggs home, and you can stuff them and fill them with all kinds of goodies and candy for our kids. They'll be out next week. Thank you for your work in getting the eggs. It's the kids just dump them in the box. So Candy and April and Kathy, they get the eggs together for us so we don't have mismatched. But thank you. So we'll get flyers made for all those good things. Also, Beth Pryor needs some spiritual care. Beth Pryor needs her church family. So if you are available this week, to please go visit Beth. She needs some encouragement. She needs some prayers. She needs her church family. So she is at the nursing home Altar Care on Price Road. So if you are available and you have time, please go see Beth. And do you have any other prayer requests or announcements that I might be forgetting? I saw Candy. Yeah, Candy's back. I said hi to her this morning. We're glad to see you. Yes. Kevin McKee, she needs some prayers. Candy. Well, we love you. We're glad you're back. And praise the Lord. And thank you to those that stepped in, Joan and Greg and everybody that helped us, or still continue to help us, but we miss Miss Candy and those that stepped up in our absence. We appreciate you very much and what you do. Yes, Tina, you said Rachel. Praying for Rachel. Some health issues going on. Okay. Come on. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song. And the Lord is great, the great King above all kings. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Amen.
Amen.
Let's prepare our hearts. Father God, we thank you that we are able to come into your sanctuary this morning, where we're able to gather together in your name and lift up our songs of praise and worship to you. Oh, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit is welcomed into this place, that each individual welcomes the Holy Spirit into their being, that you move them, that you ignite them into this time. And Lord, I just pray that whatever distractions that we may have right now of us thinking about this beautiful day and what we want to do and where we want to go, Lord, no, let's just put that aside and let's just catch every word that you have for us this morning. Let's just catch every moment in your presence that we're able to experience this morning, that nothing falls void, and we're going to catch them up into our heart and our spirit. And as we leave this place, we're going to carry them out with us. We're going to share them with those around us that need to see you, that need your love, that needs to see who Christ is. So I ask that you be with the praise band this morning. Lord, we just thank you so much for them as they share their gifts with us, as they lead us into this time of praise and worship. Lord, each and every week, they just dedicate their time to you to share it with us, to lead us. So I just pray a special blessing over them, Lord, and all the hands that have prepared your church for the work of your service. We lift them up to you. We thank you for them. We thank you for the champions. We thank you for Turning Point and Celebrate Recovery, Father, that you just continue to lead and guide them in expanding your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. As people get to know you, get to love you, and have a relationship with you, and you just turn their lives around, we give you all the praise and glory. And right now, be with us as we receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Mark 1, verses 12 and 13, and then Hebrews 2, 14. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had power of death. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I woke up this morning and looked out the window and saw the beautiful blue sky, and the sun shining all around. And it reminds me that you are here with us, and you warm our hearts. And yes, the sun brings out the sun in me. We love you, and we're glad that you're here with us, allowing us to worship you, but also allowing to give gifts back to you. We stand here on a corner for a reason. Our roof shines in the sunshine.
Amen.
That roof, that copper top roof, how beautiful it is, because it radiates you, and we can see you in that. And so we thank you for that, and we thank you for the gifts given today so that we can further the kingdom here on earth, here on this corner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this paper says, you know, many of us feel failure. Almost everybody, one time or another, feels failure, right? It says, failure is a delay, not a defeat. It is a temporary detour, not a dead-end street. Consider this. When Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, he tried over 2,000 experiments before he got it to work. So a young reporter asked him, he said, you know, how did it feel to fail so many times? And Dennis's response to him was this: I never failed once. I invented the light bulb. It just happened to be a 2,000-step process. Amen? You know, I was thinking about that in the Bible. The Bible is a process. It talks through the Old Testament of all the things that the Israelites had gone through. Well, let's even go back farther. What Adam and Eve went through at the very beginning of their life. And then Noah came, and the flood came, and then things started over again. And then Abraham came. It was a process. And the Bible tells us that process. But how do we find that out? Well, we have to dig into that Bible. Yes, we do a chronological Bible study, and those who join, and I'm not saying that if you aren't in the Bible study, you aren't there. No, I'm not saying that. Because everybody has their own ways that they do things, right? But it's a process, an understanding. And God inspired those who wrote this Bible to tell them His words. Amen? So we need to take some time, take the time that you have, and dig into the Bible. Look for ways that the Israelites failed sometimes, right? Just a couple times, you know, like all the way through, you know. But you know what? God sent Christ into our life, and He never failed. Yeah, even on Monday, Thursday night, He prayed in the garden, you know, God, just take this cup from me, but if not, it's Thy will, but not mine. Jesus never fails, and He never fails us. And because of Jesus, God never fails us. So dig into your Bible, understand it, learn about it, especially as we're getting ready to enter the Lenten season. It's a time for us, a process, 40-day journey, but the ending will never change. Amen? Amen. Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask the Lord to help us through that time. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ, and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
I forgot some prayer requests. I apologize. But I've shared with you, David, that he applied for another job at Covestro, and I know we've been praying about it for a long time, but we're going to keep praying about it because he has an on-the-phone interview on Friday, and then he's going to take his test, not that following Monday, but the Monday following that. I don't know what the date is. So we're going to dig our heels down. We're going to anoint it. I told him, I'm like, we're going to get to business. We've been praying about it. I'm like, but now it's time to get serious. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to anoint that place. We're going to go out there to that building. They'll probably see me on those, you know, security cameras. What is that woman doing? Oh, well, I'm anointing that building. We're going to dig our heels down and we're going to pray about it. So he's excited. I'm glad that he's excited. As many times as he's taken that test, he's going to do it. And pray for Grant. Grant has surgery on Monday on his foot. And it's going to be a lot more extensive than what he's used to. He's used to just having his meniscus tears, and he's able to walk and go after that surgery's done. And this one, he's not going to be able to do that. So, keep Grant lifted up. But this morning, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. We're going to be in Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not considered the foundations of the earth? God is enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like thin cloth and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes to nothing. He makes judges of the earth like a wasteland. They are barely planted, barely sown, and their stem hardly takes root in the ground. When he blows on them, they wither, and a whirlwind carries them away like stubble. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up and see who created these. He brings out the stars by numbers. He calls all of them by name. Because of his great power and strength, not one of them is missing. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There's no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youth may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not go faint. And may God have a blessing over the reading of his word this morning. Amen. We love this verse, don't we, church? God's people were struggling. As we read through the book of Isaiah, it's split up into two parts. The first 40 verses, Isaiah's prophesizing of the judgment of his people. And then the last part, he's prophesizing how God is going to rescue his people, how God is not going to ignore his people. But they were struggling. God's people were struggling badly in their captivity in Babylon. They were in exile. They were beginning to doubt that God even cared or even remembered them. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord. My claims are ignored by my God. They were starting to think God had forgotten. The Babylonians destroyed their nation, their holy city, Jerusalem. The temple had been destroyed. They put their survivors in chains and drove them into exile to Babylon. And in verse 21, Isaiah is starting to remind them, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? What the Israelites were suffering from is the same kind of condition that all of us, especially me, suffer from. When we have gone through a long period of trial, when we have gone through a long period of suffering, bad news, one thing right after another. I remember thinking it felt like waves were just coming. And he did it in waves because I couldn't handle it all at once. But I started to get this condition, this spiritual amnesia. When you've suffered for a prolonged period of time, we've been hit one thing right after another, tragedy after tragedy, bad news after bad news, electric bill after electric bill, gas bill after gas bill, especially after a cold season. Like the Israelites, this condition called spiritual amnesia, part or total loss of memory. That's amnesia, where you forget things. Either you forget all of something or you just forget pieces of it. It occurs when you forget who God is. Have we not known? Have we not heard from the very beginning? We forget what he's done, who he is, what he can do, what he has done. You forget that you can rely on him, that he's the only thing we can rely on for sure. He is our only firm foundation. And we turn to other sources for our strength. We turn to other sources for comfort. We turn to other sources for support. Those other sources get us in trouble every single time. They deepen our condition of spiritual amnesia. I like carbs, but carbs don't like me. And I turn to that when I get spiritual amnesia, when I start feeling sorry for myself. But see, I know what they do to me. They want to stick with me, but I don't want to stick with them. They don't make me feel good. But I start getting stressed out. I start thinking, you know, I'm not enough. I'm never going to be enough. I never can measure up. And I've got all these things going on. I've got a baby coming. I'm into my auntie era. And then Grant's having surgery and David's trying to get this other job. And Lord, do you hear us? Like, I forget. And some of you, your spiritual amnesia, it goes even deeper. It goes where you are having to suffer consequences, major consequences for the things that you turn to, that source, when your source isn't God. You lose your family. You lose your job. You lose your sobriety. That's major consequences for having spiritual amnesia. And like the Israelites, we cry out, where are you? In my pain, where are you in my loss? He's not seeing me. He doesn't know where I am. He can't hear me. We have been forgotten. And we believe the lie. That is a lie from the enemy. And he does it every time. When God speaks to their solution, he speaks theologically. He reminds them of who he is. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There's no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strength to the powerless. He says, when your world is falling apart, when you think I'm not there, when you think I don't see you, when you think I don't hear you, this is the time that you surrendered. You got to put away that spiritual amnesia. It is such a time as these that we need to remember. And sometimes it's like a brick wall that our minds will just not allow us to. We can't recall. Do you not know? Have you not heard those foundational truths about our God? And Isaiah gives us to them. It's not too hard to remember who God is if you're able to walk out and you see his creation. If you need to be reminded of something, of who your God is, of what type of God that you serve, Isaiah says, the creator, he's enthroned above the circle of the earth, the creator of the whole earth. Recall, you got to go back to what you know. And the first thing that you know, and the very first lessons that we learn as Christians or when we're in Sunday school, is that God is the creator of heaven and of earth. And if he meticulously put all these things together and cared so much about the function of every living, breathing thing, how much more is he going to care about you, the one that he created in his image? He created you in his image. You are his image bearer. You go back to the foundational truth that you know. And I know we mentioned this before, but in the chronological Bible study, we just finished the book of Job. And we see the truth that bad things happen to good people, right? We get reminded of that. Bad things happen to good people. Job was a righteous man. God even said that in his courtroom in heaven, in glory. He said it. He's like, he is the most righteous man of all the earth. And we see the truth that wicked people prosper sometimes, don't we? We see it every day. I see it every day. And I have a problem with that sometimes. And I'm like, Lord, do you not see the pain that they're causing? I'll say this, man, when wicked people mess with my Rita, Rita's going through it. And I know Rita is not able to be with us on every Sunday, but she's part of our congregation. She listens to us online. Sometimes she watches us and she supports us when we have our Easter egg hunts and we have little special things. She's part of us. It's one of those prolonged things. And every day she comes to me and she says, Haley, I just need prayer. The devil's after me. I know I can't give up, but I'm tired. And Rita's tired and weary because of the wickedness that keeps on pressing into her. I have a problem with not being able to see justice when I want to see justice. When wicked people prosper and they're allowed just to keep on doing what they want to do, being mean and nasty for no reason. And if you knew Rita, or if you remember Rita, she's precious. I just love her. And sometimes he'll give reasons, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes God will give you a reason. Sometimes God will reveal it to you, but sometimes he just won't. And sometimes we've got to come to that and just accept it. And we got to let it go. Because why? Because he is God. I am not. He's the creator. We are not. That's a foundational truth. We can ask God for understanding, but it is up to him whether he will allow us to know it or not. And sometimes, to be quite honest, we are not made to have full understanding. We're not. We are human. And that is his divine intervention and his divine protection over us, because we are not made to know all of it. for what it is. I know I'm not. When I kept getting hit with truth after truth after truth after truth, I don't know how much more truth I could have handled. But God knew we're not meant to be able to have the capacity to be able to hold all of that truth. Only God is. And thank God that He doesn't give us that. What a burden sometimes that would be. The Israelites were in a crisis. And in verse 18, the Lord asks them, to whom will you compare God? Spiritual amnesia will cause us to have that small view of God. I always say you put God in this little box. And sometimes we put boundaries on God. And spiritual amnesia will shrink in that box down to where we can think that we have this small God and He can't see us. He can't do anything to get us out of this. He can't see everything that's going on with me. A small view of God in a crisis means the crisis will control. It will take over. If your crisis in your mind is bigger than your God, it has already taken over. Take over your emotions. It'll take over your thoughts. If you get up at night and that's all you think about, it'll take over your joy. It'll take away your peace. And it'll take away your mind. And that's all you can think about. That's all you can focus on. You can't see the sun shining outside. You can't see creation of what God has done. And He reminds them that God has existed for all time. Without beginning and without end, He is the creator of the ends of the earth. It all belongs to Him. He never sleeps or grows weary. Thank you. Thank you, God. He's at full strength and full capacity at every moment of every day, every second. Full strength, full capacity. His understanding is unsearchable. It says there is no limit to His understanding. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by God. And when the Israelites claimed that their way was hidden, Isaiah is reminding them of just how foolish that is. Just how foolish that they sound when they say that. There's nothing hidden from Him. His understanding. And He knows all things. He says God's knowledge is unsearchable. He doesn't mean that it can't be explored, that we can't look for it, that we can't search for it or try to gain knowledge of it. That's not what He's saying. He doesn't mean that, or that it's not searchable, but the bottom of it will never be discovered. The bottom of God's knowledge we're never going to get to. We can get to the bottom of the ocean. Nobody ever is going to get to that, but we know that there's a bottom. With God, there is no bottom of His understanding. Thank goodness, because I have tried and tested it. Whoa! I've tried and tested. There is no end of the depth of His understanding. And in 29, Isaiah reminds us that God is not only the sovereign, inexhaustible creator of all things. Knowledge has no end. His understanding has no end, or His compassion. He doesn't use His strength to crush us, because He very well could. When I'm sitting there having my spiritual fit, and I think that God doesn't hear me and doesn't listen to me and doesn't see me, and I'm throwing a fit, and He doesn't smite me. He doesn't burn me to ashes right there. He could. Sometimes I deserve it. Like, who do you think you are? He's so understanding. And He's so compassionate. And His patience. He doesn't use His strength to crush us. He gives us power when we are faint. Those who have no might, He increases their strength. He shares His strength with His people. He's not a selfish God. He wants to share it with us. He's willing to bend down and give to His children and to provide them of their needs. They just need to be reminded. Have you not heard? Have you not known from the very beginning that that's the kind of God that you serve? And there's times when we must wait in the midst of the hardships, in the midst of when we feel like we're not being heard and we're out in the wilderness and God can't see us. And we have that spiritual amnesia. In those moments, we must go to where we know He is. We talked about one of them, praise. That's God's address. Whether you're singing it, whether you're reading it, sing praises, read praises of our God, be reminded of the kind of God that we serve. And that's not going to be your first reaction, because your first reaction is going to be like me. I want to sit in the corner. I want to put my thumb in my mouth and I want to throw a fit. And I want to feel sorry for myself and eat my Fig Newtons. He is in His Word. He is in the praise. Start where you remember. Start where you know you experienced Him. In all the time of my life, it's been right here at Faith Church. This is where God met me. This is where God saw me. This is where God's heard me. And you. How many times have we seen the miraculous ways of our God here at Faith Church, moving within His people, hearing our cries for help, bringing us healing, bringing us deliverance, bringing us provision in our need? Our God is unstoppable. His depths, they're unsearchable because there is no bottom to it. He sees us, He cares about us, even if it feels like He doesn't. And we can know that He is working for our good. He works all things for our good. And what was meant for evil, He's intending for good. And all those wicked things the enemy does to us through people, because there are agents of Satan that will distribute his wickedness to us, and whatever wicked things that they do, He will turn them into good. That is a foundational truth. Now, all things happen for a reason, because we live in a fallen world. We live in an imperfect world where the enemy rules. But guess what? Guess who our God is? Have you not known? Have you not heard? He's already overcome the world. He's already done it. Those who trust in the Lord, you got to trust Him. You got to have faith in Him. You got to know who He is. And you got to know who your dad is in order to have trust in Him. And the only way you're going to be able to build up your trust and build up your faith is you read about the character of the God that you're serving. But it says, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on eagle's wings. And the first way that God gives you strength is through His divine intervention. And we've been talking about that for a couple weeks, but I love the way that Tony Evans has explained it in his commentary, this illustration. It says, an eagle kicks out the eaglet for the first time out of the nest. Get out of here. I want you gone. You need to learn how to do it. It's trying to learn how to fly, and usually the first time it can't fly because it hasn't been taught yet. It hasn't been shown how to do it. It's not their first instinct. So they're trying to make it, and they're just flailing out in the air. And sometimes I just feel like I'm flailing. I'm trying to make it, God. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm flailing. But what the eagle will do when it sees that the eaglet is falling and it's not going to make it, the eagle will swoop down and open up its wings and catch that baby eaglet on the wings and lift it back up to its nest. And one way God gives you new strength is when He swoops down into our situation. He grabs us. He lifts us out of it. And that divine intervention, when God supernaturally intervenes, this is awesome. And sometimes people don't understand it when it happens. When they look at it and they think, oh, you know, that's not. But we know He has taken us out of a situation, or He's taken someone else out of our situation. Oh. And that's okay if they don't understand it. That's okay if they don't want to know the truth about it. That's okay if they don't want to see that that was what God did for a purpose and for a reason, because we know. And that's okay. But sometimes it is done for a testimony of who God is, that we are supposed to be speaking about, that we're supposed to be showing that this is who our God is and this is what He does. And sometimes He will. He'll swoop in. He'll take care of that cancer. Oh, we've seen it. He'll cure it. He'll cure our health. He'll take care of that addiction. And sometimes He doesn't swoop in. But it's that all of a sudden, it comes in a way that there's no other way it couldn't have been done if it hadn't been for God. Oh, those suddenly moments that, yes, that had to have been God. That had to have been God. And that is worthy to be praised. That type of moment, all moments are worthy to be praised. But those specifically, have to be a part of our testimony, and we shall not stop talking about it. But the second way God gives us new strength, Isaiah says, is that we will run and not grow weary. That God will strengthen us at those times when he doesn't swoop in and take us out of the situation, or he doesn't swoop in and take the person, the wickedness or whatever out, that he will give us the strength to continue the race that we're on, to run through it and not grow weary, to experience it, to live through it. He says, you focus on me. If you put your trust in me and you remember who I am and who you serve, you remember my word that tells you about me and my character, because we have that spiritual amnesia and we need to be reminded, even though you are running, God will be with you every step of the way, giving you that second wind to make it through, to make it further in that challenge, to make it further in that health situation, that job situation, that addiction than you thought you could have ever gone. You go further than what you have thought you have ever gone because he is going to give you a second wind. He's going to give you the strength to be able to do that final lap. And then there's a third way he gives you strength in the scripture. And those who believe in the word, those that put their trust in him and submit to it, that spiritual power, that daily walk, you will walk and not grow weary. Step by step, every day. When we can't run, and he's not swooping in to take us out, he walks with us. He lets you go through the process. Running enables you to keep going, gives you the endurance. And then sometimes we can't run. I remember, I've told you before, a time when I was just praying for the strength to get up out of bed. Lord, just give me the strength to put my feet down on this floor and get up and take the first step, because I didn't have the strength to run anymore. I just had the strength to walk. And he walked with me through this impossible situation that became possible because of him. He was with me, strengthening me, encouraging me, sending people into my life with his light of his truth, to remind me of the God that I serve, because I had spiritual amnesia. I had to go back to what I knew, the basics, the foundation of my truth that I learned right here at Faith Church. I had a long walk. It was a long walk, church. It was 11 years. It was an 11-year walk. I sat down and I counted it out. It was 11 years. And in the process of walking, in the process of going through court process after court process, defending myself, trying to provide, trying to believe, trying to remember the truth, because the truth gets hazy, especially when you're being lied to, especially when so many things are getting thrown out. He didn't change the situation. He didn't swoop in and take me out of it. He walked with me all those 11 years. He walked with us. And then all of a sudden, he did swoop in. And we were able to walk away. And just not merely being able to read about God, not just merely being able to recall the things that God's done in his word or at this church, but we were able to come out of it and say, we've experienced it. I've seen God. I've seen his sovereignty. I've seen him intervene in my life. I've seen his goodness. I've felt his grace. I've seen his presence, provision, breaking those chains of bondage. All of a sudden, we can say that to ourselves. But there were times throughout the process, and I know I've mentioned it before, when we'd be driving in the car and I'd be going through all these things and I'd be talking like the Israelites, as God can't see me, God doesn't hear me. And I'd look at these two little boys in the car and I'd say, I need to hear some truth. Tell me some truth, because I had spiritual amnesia at that moment. And I'm like, I need to hear some truth. And in their childlike faith, they reminded me, their adult mother, of the kind of God that we serve. We were living with Nina and Papa, and God knew we needed a house, Mom. He knew we needed a house of our own, and now we do. Now we have one, Mom. He knew we needed a car because we didn't have one. And I know that I'm talking about tangible things. I'm talking about material things. But we have to understand that God is going to provide us with all that we need. And this isn't, I'm not trying to sound like it's prosperity, that God's going to give you all these things. But what I am saying is that we serve a good, good God. What I am saying is that when we are weak, He makes us strong. And that He sees us in our needs, and He is our provider. He is our source. And that the most important thing that we got out of that is that we saw God and His divine intervention in our lives. That's what we got out of that. And it's the same for you. And the most important ways we receive help when we are suffering from spiritual amnesia is through the body of Christ, His church. We are called to care for one another, be reflections of Christ for one another. When we can't remember, You remind us. Even when I turn to sin through my walk, because there were times I did, You didn't turn away from me. You reminded me that the God we serve is the everlasting God, creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint and never grows weary. There's no limit to His understanding, and He gives strength to the weak. And He'll strengthen you through it. He'll strengthen you through your sin so that you have the strength enough to turn it around, that you repent of your sin and you turn around from your sin to the cross of Jesus Christ. And when we have spiritual amnesia, we have another reminder. We are going to share communion with each other this morning and with the Lord. And we are called to self-reflection before we approach the Lord's table, recognizing that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, that we are all walking this walk and need His strength, need His forgiveness, need His provision. And we're called to remember Jesus and His sacrifice. He told His disciples to partake in communion as often as they would in remembrance of Me. We're called to remember Christ, His selfless sacrifice on the cross for our sin, for our pain, for our inequity. He paid it all on the cross. And we remember that we are unable to save ourselves. We receive His free grace through communion, finding strength in His enduring love, just as Isaiah calls us to remember. Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is everlasting God, creator of the whole earth, and He never becomes faint or weary? And there is no limit to His understanding. Father God, as we come, as we prepare our hearts for this communion, as we prepare to take up the bread that is Your body broken for us, as we prepare to take the cup that is Your blood poured out for us, we come to You. We come humbly to You, recognizing that we don't have the strength, that we do need You. In any way that You swoop in and You take us up on those eagle's wings, or You give us that strength to run and not grow weary, You just give us the strength to walk each step at a time. Give us the strength that we need day after day, step after step, Lord, to do what it is that You've called us to do. Strengthen us. And we receive that through Your communion. It is our spiritual food for our journey, receiving Your grace, coming before You humbly, recognizing that we are just humans, that we don't have the strength to do this on our own, and that we are in need of a Savior to forgive us of our sins. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took His 12 disciples up to the upper room, and He raised the bread, and He said, "This is My body that's broken for you. Take it. And eat it. And remember Me. Remember My body broken for you. For the forgiveness of your sins." And then He raised the cup. And He said, "This is My blood that is poured out for you. And though it may be red, it washes you as white as snow." You don't have to be a member of this church or any other church to be able to come and take part in communion. All you have to do is trust. And have faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He did die on the cross for your sins, and that you receive forgiveness through Him. That's what you have to do. You're welcome. Father God, we've come into this place, and we know and we have heard that you are the Lord that is everlasting, that you are the creator God of the whole earth, that you never grow faint, that you never grow weary. And we just thank you so much that there is no limit. There's no bottom to your understanding, and that you give us strength when we are weak and when we feel powerless, when we feel that we're not seen and that we are not heard. You are a God that sees us and hears us because we are yours, because we have made the decision. We've put our foot down, that we have put our trust in you. We've put our faith in you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us. Whether you come in and you swoop into our situation and you take us out or you take it out of our lives, we thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor, and we will testify to it, and we continue to testify to it. If it's that you give us strength that we will run and that we will not grow weary, that you're going to give us that second wind to keep going this race, we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor. And if it's that you give us the strength to walk in it, to walk in the process of whatever it is that you want us to go through, to learn whatever we need to learn, to build up the testimony that glorifies you, Lord, that we know you're going to give us the strength for that. Enable us. Give us the words that we need to have to where we are able to testify to other people that need this message, that are faint, that are weary, that haven't put their trust in you, and they're floundering in this world without you. And help us to have those times when we forget, when we just forget who our God is, the God that we serve, that the Holy Spirit just comes in and either sends someone into us, into our lives, or we pick up your word and we see and we are reminded of who you are. We thank you and give you praise in all these things. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it is the solid foundation on which we can stand on and put our trust in, that you are never changing. You are the same today, you were yesterday, and that you will ever be. You're the same. We thank you so much. Amen. Now, you have heard, you have seen, and you know, God is our creator. He is the everlasting God. There is no end to his understanding. There's no end to his love. And he will never grow faint and he will never grow tired of you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you go, he sees you, he hears you, he loves you. And you go, you leave out of this place and you act like it. You act like you know that you have a father that loves you, that cares about you, that sees you, and you go tell other people. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a good week.